Okay, I got sound. I got a thumbs up. How's that? All right. That song is interesting. We don't normally associate it around the time of Christmas, though, do we? Okay. It's one of those songs, well, I don't know. I've heard a song a lot of times around revival times, special meetings and stuff like that. But it's one of those things that when Jesus came, wasn't that the promise of God's love? Okay, everybody's just kind of like, are we not awake yet? We should have done that one song, clap your hands, all you people, clap your hands, all you people, and everybody get awake. Because that was the culmination of God's love. It's funny that everybody has this idea of the Old Testament as being this thing of, you know, stoicness and harshness and everything like that, where, you know, if you get out of line, God smacks you and spanks you and then or kills you, and then it's over and done with. But no, it's all about love. Is it not? You read everything there, it's all about God's long suffering with the sins of men. Okay? And that's done because he loves us. Otherwise, does he have to put up with us? No, he does not. He could just go like this and every one of us would be, you know, done away with. We'd be ash. We would be as if we were never born. Okay? People don't understand it. And the New Testament, based on the Old Testament. Okay. I'm going with that because in the Old Testament, we're shown the promises of God, that God, in our past, okay, remember, it was present for some people back then, but in our past, God showed his promise of that love. From the book of Genesis, when Adam and Eve sinned, he did punish them. He did chastise them. You know, this, for the punishment of sin, the wages of sin is still death. Okay. Spiritual death. Okay. Physical death even, because okay. Physical death was not supposed to be the original portion of God's plan, because death entered into the world by sin, because of sin. Okay. But God gave him that promise right then and there. There's going to be one that's going to defeat Satan and going to defeat sin and save you. There's going to be one that's going to mend that rift between man and God, and we will have fellowship once again, God says. Okay. All right, so if you go to Genesis, you can read that, but you won't hear the words that I'm saying, because it's a culmination of the entire Bible wrapped up in that. And the birth of Christ is the culmination of the entire Old Testament. Okay. An entire bigger portion of the Bible is wrapped up in the birth of Christ. God fulfilled that promise, didn't he? Isn't that great? Oh, man, it is great. There are songs at Christmas time, Joyful All Ye Nations Rise, you know, Oh Come All Ye Faithful. Everybody's just singing joy and praises and stuff like that. You know, if we come in here and we're not joyful, and people say, well, this is not really Christmas. This is actually some pagan holiday that, I don't know, that somebody decided, whatever. Okay, so it's a pagan holiday that the Christians finally took over. How's that? Instead of pagans taking over our stuff, claiming it as theirs, man, Christians, when it says, we're going to claim this day as the birth of Christ, we really don't know what day it was. Even the scholars and everybody that does all the numbering and everything, man, they're just into that stuff. Is it in the spring? No, it was in the fall. No, it was in... When was it? Doesn't matter. The thing is that Christ was born. He was born in the city of Bethlehem, in the city of David. He was born according to the scriptures. He lived according to the scriptures. He died according to the scriptures. He rose again according to the scriptures. Isn't that the gospel? All of that is foretold in the Old Testament. Okay. And yet we have a tendency to think, oh, the Old Testament's just dull and drab. Well, if you read Numbers and... Yeah, the book of Numbers where he's numbering the people. Oh, man, or Deuteronomy. Some of that... In Ecclesiastes, some of that gets pretty heavy, doesn't it? It's like, wow. But the promise of love is given there. More about love and long-suffering and God's patience with men is in the Old Testament than the New Testament. Okay? Remember, most of Paul's scriptures that he quotes about, or that he says about salvation, you know, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Old Testament. when God said, when Paul tells people, you know, the guys, look, Jesus' blood came and made you white as snow, Old Testament, book of Isaiah. The birth of Christ, all the songs we sing, Old Testament. And we can rejoice and be glad because God fulfilled his promise. And you know what that does for us? That fills us with hope, hopefully. I mean, prayerfully, it fills us with hope. Why? Because we know that if God fulfilled that promise way back then he's going to fulfill the promise of salvation and save our souls from eternal death. Okay? We know also that he's going to fulfill the promise that he will ever be with us to give us comfort and strength when we need it. Okay? Years ago, I went down to visit my family. We got there the 20th of December. We were going to be there all week. My grandfather died the 23rd of December that year. Okay. Everybody was just, you know, we always had a Christmas Eve thing on the 24th, Christmas Eve. The family gathered together. People would come from all over the country. Okay. Yeah, we had a big family. I remember Grandma's house. Grandma's house was probably all total no bigger than this room. See, living room, kitchen, dining room, bedroom on that side. Yeah, probably. Yeah, it's about this size. There were sometimes 50 people jammed in that little house. Standing room only sometimes, you know. There was always room for us kids. We were out by the TV, and this is where we this is where we played, you know. Out of sight, out of mind. Actually, we weren't because we were in the living room. You know, everybody saw us. But that's where the kids play. There was always room for us kids, though. I don't care. Maybe 10, 15 kids sometimes. There was always room for the kids to play. Okay? But we gathered together. We had that fellowship. We had the fellowship. Celebrating as a family the birth of Christ. Okay? I did not know that back then because I was just a child. The focus was the tree and all the stuff underneath it. That's childlike thinking. But it's a season when we got together that time. Yeah, we all missed. And I heard my aunts and uncles talking about their dad and grandpa. Good things about him. Reliving in their mind past Christmases they had as children with him. Comforting grandma on the fact that, no, grandma had already died by then, sorry. Comforting each other with the fact that they had their time of fellowship with their parents, with these people. And that amazed me. Amazes me still this day. Okay. Because sometimes people get together when you can't talk about death, you can't talk about people dying, you know. And it's like, but it happens. That's why Christ came to earth, to prevent the sorrow from that, because you know that if they're lost, they're dying and they're going to hell. But if they're saved, they're dying and they're going to a better place. A place with no pain, a place with no sorrow, a place where their salvation is sight, where our salvation is sight. Okay? And this should be a time for us, a time of rejoicing, a time of looking back and saying, man, God fulfilled that promise, the greatest promise of all ages. And when he says he's going to be with you, shouldn't you rest in that too? Shouldn't you just have a smile on your face and say, yeah, God said he'd be with me. The Heavenly Father who loved me before I was even born. The Heavenly Father who loved me when I did not love him. The Heavenly Father who loved me and gave his son for him when I was an unholy child of the devil. Shouldn't that in our very soul make an impact? An impact. That's why I'm doing this rather than something I don't. An impact on our very mind about the love of God, about God loving us. If it doesn't, oh man, why doesn't it? Sometimes these things should just tug at our heart to bring us to tears. And not about sorrows, but tears about joy. I mean, you want to know a sorrowful thing. Mary was told by the angel and by Simon there at the temple, you had a son, this is the Savior of the world, he's going to be a thing, but you're going to cry because he's going to die. How would you like to be told that at the birth of your child? Yeah, he was born to die for the sins of men. He's going to die? Yeah. But he's going to die for the sins of men. Rejoice, Mary, in that. And even though, you know, what does the angel say? It's going to be like a knife pierced your heart with sorrow. This is the Savior of the world that God promised. That he told those two people in the temple, you're not going to die until you see that promise come. And when they saw it, they said, glory to God in the highest. Yeah, they knew what was going to happen. But both of them, glory to God in the highest. Peace on earth, redemption is brought. Man is brought back from hell, or bought back from hell. Why is it at Christmas time we are just, oh, this is so sad, oh. No. Regardless of what happens, we can still laugh, cry, smile with the joy that God loved you enough, that he saved your soul, and that Christmas is when we celebrate the birth of that promise. There shall be showers of blessings upon men. Those were my thinking this last week. And it was, gosh, because yeah, it is sometimes, I transport people that are sick and afflicted, mentally, physically, handicapped. I can deal with the older ones. Well, they're older than me, and you know, I'm sorry, brother, okay, sister, sorry. Because you know, the more you age, the more infirm you get, right? Okay. How many people don't know that? I don't know. You got your head in the sand. Sometimes you do things. I remember a couple of years, I fell off my porch. Didn't fall. I slipped off. Hit my hip there. And for about 10 minutes, 15 minutes, man, I cried. I was on my knees on the ground, cried, praying to God, because I thought I broke my hip. And, you know, from then on, after you break your hip, it's all downhill from there. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I'm crippled, because I just could not move. You know, I had a bruise, gosh. But, yeah, for 15 minutes, man, I was just crying, praying. And I finally got the courage enough to move. Because sometimes you don't want to move. You said, I don't want to really find out what's going on. And it just, oh, and it hurt, but I was able to stand up. Didn't break anything. Praise God. But no more pain like that. No more pain in the suddenness. Man, sometimes granted, I may not have arthritis or other things as bad as some of you all, but all I know is that when I wake up in the morning, it takes me 10 minutes to get out of bed. Okay? When I was younger, I said, well, that's never going to happen to me. I'm just a young man. I'm just strong and proud. Then you do something wrong. You lift something stupid. I used to take, I was a plumber when I was younger, from the age of 19 to 24, 25, 26. Used to change 40-gallon water heaters. 40-gallon water heaters only about that tall and about that big around. Okay, small little thing. But at this time, after about, 40, 50, 60 years of L.A. water, which has a bunch of sediments and stuff, pretty heavy. Sometimes they were just awkward to carry. So I would just, after draining the water, pick it up, lift it, and take it out. Okay, I was strong enough to do it. I had other people back then say, hey, don't do that. You're going to hurt yourself. No, I'm not. I'm a young man. I'm strong. I am it. I hurt myself. Son of a gun, those guys were right. I still feel it to this day. To be without pain. Now, sometimes sometimes I look at the CBD product. They guarantee no THCs. Okay? THC is what I have to get tested for on occasion. And if I have THC in my blood, I get fired. They strip my CDL away from me, and that's it. I'm done. I got to go look for a new job. Getting old to do that. There's jobs out there, man. I see signs all over the place. Hiring now, hiring now. Anyway, so I kind of don't want to do it, but then I got thinking, one of these days, we're going to wake up in heaven with no pain. I won't have to go looking for a product to remove pain. I won't have to be desperate to get rid of this pain. And some people are so desperate, there's alcohol, there's pills, there's all this kind of stuff to get it out. I don't know, when I was younger, if you got pain, that means you're alive. No pain, no gain. Boy, was I stupid. I was just a young man, that's all. But one day we're going to be in heaven. That's what the promise of love was. We're going to be reconciled so that way, not only in this life, because this life is actually nothing compared to eternity, but it's the next life. So that way we'll be around the throne of God. Man, if that doesn't thrill your heart, I bless your soul. I don't know what will. I really don't. You know? And we can look forward to that and not this. I've said this before. You read the book of Ecclesiastes. We're reading about here in the book of Proverbs. Solomon wrote it. He was the most wisest man ever to live. Not only up until that point, but God promises until after that point even. Okay. You read the book of Ecclesiastes, though. Solomon had got his eyes off of God and started putting them back down here on earth. And if you read that book, that's a heavy book, because sometimes it's just full of hopelessness. Just, oh, man. It's like mankind is under the weight of sin when you read that book. I don't know. Maybe you guys haven't ever felt that. I don't know. When you read a book of Ecclesiastes, there are a few bright spots, but it's like, man, you're under the weight and that yoke, and it's like, man. And then you come to a bright spot and says, yeah. Then you come to the end of the book, he concludes with this. What's the conclusion? That man should seek God early in life and stay with him. And stay with him. Because that's where our hope is built. It's like the book of Lamentations, written by the prophet. Man, you start reading that stuff, things were happening in his life that don't happen in people's lives. Okay? It's after Babylon had come and taken the city, and the disease and the people that came in and took advantage of that. Okay? All the young children that were still left there and what they went through. Man, he paints a pretty dead picture. But then he stops and realizes in book chapter 3, in the middle of the chapter, and then I realize this, God's mercies are new every day. God's mercies are supplied to us because he loves us. And then he says, I have hope. When that's brought back to my mind, I remember, then I have hope that this is not the world. This is not the entirety of it. This is just temporary. It's what happens on the other side. Eternity with God. And he can rejoice in his hope. Do we rejoice in our hope? I kind of was going to do some of this for our worship this morning, but if I'm doing it now, I'm not going to do it for the worship. Now I don't know what I'm going to do. But because if we, as Paul said, if our hope is built on nothing, then we are of most men most miserable. Of all men. Why? Because Paul, he was shipwrecked. He was beaten. He was all this stuff. He was people chased after him to kill him. To take his life from him. He was hated by the Jews. Romans didn't really care. To be met with indifference sometimes is worse than being hated. Just indifference about your plight? Yeah. Well, we're just going to treat you as a prisoner. It don't matter. We don't care. And then he says we can rejoice of all these things that happen here because our life is not here. Our citizenship is not in this world. It is in the next. And for that, we have hope. And we are no longer miserable because we know that this is true. We know that God fulfilled his promise of the coming Messiah. And the Messiah died on the cross for us, rose again the third day, and now sits at the right hand of the throne of God with the promise that he's coming back. With the promise that after all is done, battle Armageddon, everything, it's forever with God in that city. The new heaven and the new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down. So much for just the Christmas story, huh? Because it started way back when, and it's going to continue way back, or way until Well, there is no end of time after that, because there is no time. And if we, as children of God, we say we love God and that we're saved, we accept God, if we cannot be joyful, if we cannot be happy, if we cannot utter our voice to say praise be to God and to share it with others, who will? If we can't do it or won't do it, who will? Who can? There is nobody in the wings saying, here am I, send me. Like I said, I transport people that are in all aspects of life. Transported an older gentleman, nice guy, older gentleman earlier this week. He was going to go volunteer at the UGM thrift store down there on Boone. Okay. It makes a difference, so I'm going to say he's an older black gentleman. Had to use the lift, which means he can't climb stairs. Walking on Oda's walker. But the way that guy spoke, he was not lamenting about his situation. Never once lamented about being black, being raised in this, racist, systemic racist place. But words of hope, words of calmness. He works for UGM. UGM is I forget what it stands for. Gospel Mission, Union Gospel Mission. Okay, they preach Jesus to people. You ever heard their commercials on the radio? My life was saved, they said, because they preached Jesus and I accepted the Lord and Jesus loves me. And I was built on that foundation and my life is better since then. What other charitable organization has that testimony? None. Okay? Planned Parenthood has a testimony of killing children, killing babies. They are people that deal in death, abortions. That's their biggest thing. They say they do women's health care. They do nothing. They say they help women with the breast cancer, stuff like that. They do nothing for that. Their biggest money maker is killing babies. And yet UGM is put down. They are actually persecuted by the city. Oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And they toe the line. Because they know as good stewards of God, they have to answer to the city for a lot of things. When they put in that new boulevard, that Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard, they threatened to close UGM down there. Okay. They did, and they go, oh, what for? They were in the way. That's why the road goes like this and kind of snakes in there. They were in the way, UGM is there. But it goes further than that. Why? Because they preach Jesus. They dare to preach the gospel of Christ to the people as their hope of getting out of their situation. To raise them up from the miry clay of sin. To raise them up to walk in newness of life and actually walk in newness of life. Where they don't go back to the street, they don't go back to the drugs, they don't go back to the alcoholism or whatever it was that brought them there. Because they got that hope. They give them that hope. And if we cannot utter that, if we cannot give people hope, then I guess we are, of all men, most miserable. Because if we can't utter it to tell others, then we don't believe it here. Because out of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Okay, I'm quoting scripture, but I'm not telling you what chapter and verse. If you guys really care, write it down and be like the Bereans and say, did Brother Fred speak this right? Or is he just kind of going off on a tangent or something? Yeah, it's off on a tangent from where we're going to be in Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 6. But it's true. Because what do you think? When Paul's telling Timothy of this stuff, he's telling Timothy the exact same things I'm telling you. It's all about Jesus first. Paul, when he told the Corinthians, he says, man, all I wanted there was to have Jesus and him crucified while I preached to you. And from there, Jesus crucified, died for your sins. Then you grow. Then you're able to go ahead and be, and I don't want to use this, we're a productive member of society. No, a productive member of God's family. But you got to have that hope within you. And if you really don't believe it, why not? what has come between you and God. Like the Galatians. Oh, Galatians, who has bewitched you to think there's something else that you got to do to be saved, to continue in salvation? Who has told you that there is something else there? That there's something other than God to build your life on. Something other than Christ to go about on. The church at Ephesus in the book of Revelation. Oh my goodness, they were just doing all kinds of stuff, but they weren't doing it with God. They were doing it for God. And God says, I got one thing against you about that. You have left your first love. You have stopped loving my son Jesus. You have stopped loving me, your God. You have stopped loving. And you're just doing this because you think you have to. Because you got this spiritual gun and you're putting another notch on that gun handle. Okay? Thinking that, man, I look at all these notches, man. I am a spiritual warrior. There is too much of that in Christianity today. It's an extreme right now. Too much of the hardness of that. You know, when they preach to people and tell them about that you're a sinner and you're going to die and go to hell, but God loves you. Wait, I don't know about you. I would have never listened to that message. I'd have hit that man in the face. Okay? Paul was accused of being an in-your-face preacher. He was not. How many times we read in Paul's writings, I cried over these people as I prayed for them. You know, in meekness, preach the word, live the word. And meekness and humility. He was not an in-your-face, red-faced, spitting all this stuff. He spoke to them kind words of love and of mercy and of grace. Why is it we got to be so hard that people turn us off? Oh, you're just a legalist. Oh, you're just this. Oh, you're just... Man, people just walk away from, man, he's an angry preacher. We're not to preach the word of God out of anger. Out of contention, but out of love and a meek heart. And then we have the other side of the spectrum in Christianity today. Oh, God is love. He would never do anything to hurt us. He would never do anything to punish us. He's just so loving. And that we can do anything we want now because we're saved by grace. Okay, well, that's a lie from Satan. Because God says, I am holy, therefore you as my children, you be holy. You be as sacred to me, or you be sacred. You consider me sacred and my thing sacred. And you walk upright in this world. So that way people can see you and accuse you of being a Christian. Or do they look at you and say, oh, he's made a compromise with the world. He's going along with the current politics of all this crap and garbage that's out there. And that's all it is. It's awful. O-F-F-A-L, by the way. Look up that word. It is awful. It's dumb. And yet we got Christians going for that stuff because they think it makes them look somehow holy, somehow righteous. But remember, the devils were turned into ministers of light. They were faking it. How about you? How about us? Are we faking it? Okay. Where we preach Jesus to some people and then we say, oh, but this politician's okay because they care about people, even though they want to see babies dead, they want to see old folks done away with. Yeah, it's called euthanasia, by the way. Oregon is okay with that. Oregon. Let's talk about Oregon just for a second. You want to talk about not politics, but I want to talk about morality. There is so much stuff that's allowable in Oregon, except for Christianity. Okay? Oh, don't look at me with oh, really? Yeah, get your head out of the sand. Oregon has passed laws that it's okay to have a certain amount of all kinds of drugs. But you can't have enough to sell. If you have more than this, I don't know, a certain amount, you're going to sell it? No, I'm just hoarding my drugs. I'm just keeping my drugs all to myself. Okay? And you can't rat out your neighbor anymore. It's okay for him to have that marijuana. Oh, it's okay for him to have the meth. Oh, it's okay for him to have the angel dust, the PCP, all that other stuff. It's okay, even though it's going to kill them. It's okay. But you can't have opioids, because opioids are bad. They kill. More people have died over PCP than they have opioids. And so this is their thing, their dichotomy. It's like, how is one good and one bad? One's okay. It's just fine. Oh, by the way, you got to wear your mask. Have to. It's a must thing. Okay? Wear a mask. Gloves are not mandatory there, but you got to wear your mask. Even if you're in your own home with your own family, you got to wear your mask. The governor over Thanksgiving, she was found out, by the way, to be wandering around without her mask and seeing family without her mask and doing all this stuff. And yet she said, you guys got to wear your mask. You must wear your mask. This is called hypocrisy. Do as I say, not as I do. Okay. And yet in the same breath, she went ahead and said, if your neighbor has more than 6 people and makes enough noise, you call the cops and they will come and arrest them. Because they weren't wearing their mask. And because they had this gathering over 6 people. What? And you know who's going to turn people in? The family. It's going to be just like Jesus said. Mother against daughter, father against son, families interfighting because somebody goes along with the politics of the day and somebody's going to try to stay with God. It'll be your friends that turn you in. Why? Because that's the politics of the day. It's more about morality than it is politics. Okay. Hopefully you guys can see this and be and change. Like, I want to be more rejoiceful. The big movie this time of year is called Scrooge. It's about Ebenezer Scrooge. You know, what's it called? A Christmas Tale? I don't know. Christmas Carol. Thank you. Where Scrooge supposedly changes his life. Okay? In the original book, there was some words about God and stuff in there. So all the stuff on the movies had done away with that. But the change was that Scrooge is no longer interested in the things of the world. The stuff that grabbed his heart before, even where he lost love at an early age because he decided, oh, I'm going to take the things of the world, the stuff, the money, what it gives me. Regardless of love, regardless of happiness, regardless of relationship. And you know the story about, you know, Marley coming on saying, you got the chains of all this stuff you built. And afterward, he decided, man, something changed. It's the holy tide of Christmas. About the coming of the Savior. About the belief in Jesus that he changed the world. If he can change the world, why not your heart? Ebenezer Scrooge's heart was different after that. And he celebrated Christmas, what does it say? Year round. Celebrated the birth of that Christ child, the birth that where you give of yourself, your time, your money. And be happy about it because it's not mine, it's God's. God gave it to me as a good steward to use as he sees fit, not as I see fit. And if we can't bring it, let's put a smile on our face and say, God, make me an instrument. Man, that was a good song way back in the 70s, wasn't it? Make me an instrument of your love today. Okay, yeah, it was a little rocky, but hey, it was still a good song. Make me an instrument of your love today. It's basically what Ebenezer Scrooge's life was. It was gooder than gold, they said. Okay, so that's just a story. But if it's so endearing and touches our heart, why don't we let the Word of God touch our heart? In 1 Timothy chapter 6, fight the good fight of faith, verse 12 says, we've gone over that. Lay a hold of eternal life, whereat thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge, in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot. What's the commandment without spot? That you fight the good fight of faith. Not as a soldier says, oh, I got to do this because... No, that's not what the soldier does. The soldier says, man, I'm going to do this because I volunteered for this. I'm going to put my all into it. The faith of believing in Jesus Christ. The faith in believing that He is the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. Not the only child of God. Because you're also a child of God. Keep this in your mind. Who before Pontius, Pilate, witnessed to good faith. I am He. That's what you said. I am the Son of God. I am the Messiah. I am the One, Jesus says. And yet others cried out, crucify Him. But the idea is to keep this commandment, and the commandment is to be happy. To show others the love of God. And how can you show others the love of God when you're going, oh, poor is me. Oh, my situations are just so terrible. Oh, and this, oh, and that. How can we say that? How can we show the love of God with that? No, it's like, things are so bad in my life, but I still give praise to God because of it. When people come up and ask you, look, how is it that you can have this happen to you physically, that financially, this happen to you, all this stuff, and yet how can you walk around with a smile on your face? Because you should tell them it's Jesus. Because of Jesus. That's the faith. That's the good fight of faith. Where we can come in here, in this church, in this house of God, and smile to one another. Hi, how you doing? Pastor, every Thursday we bring forth prayer requests. So that way we can show the love of God for our brothers and sisters in our prayer closet at home by praying for them. I pray for you that your health, not only your health, but that God would show gracefulness in your situation and that God would encourage you in your situation. And that you can go around and be a testimony of Jesus. They had a boy up at Faith Baptist Church. When they used to be on Montgomery. Yeah, it was Montgomery. Little boy. He was CCC, Cognitive Challenge. Okay. Loved Jesus. Told people about it. To a point that when he died, souls were saved. Because of that little boy's testimony of God being in his life. Man, if that don't thrill your heart, I don't know what will. Man, if you don't let God touch you for that, I don't know what will. We pray and ask for God to touch us in services with the messages and everything, and yet we don't let Him. Because I might have to do something. I might have to break a smile in church. You know why they tell speakers to tell jokes? It's in this, you know, it's part of the thing that when you're speaking before a crowd, tell a joke or two. Why? Because it gets people relaxed. Once you get them to smile, they start relaxing. They can then enjoy themselves and listen to what you have to say without dread and without fear. Without, oh no, this is going to be another hour. Oh, and it's pastor tonight, so he's going to be an hour and a half. Oh my goodness, if you can't stand to be under the preaching of God for an hour, hour and a half, what's wrong with you? Because I know you didn't do it all week long. Anyway, he's telling Timothy, I apologize, I didn't keep track of my time. Okay. The reason why I want to hurry with this and finish this chapter is because this is my last Sunday. Somebody else is teaching after the first of the year. Charge that I'm rich, verse 17. Charge that I'm rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth richly all things. Do you know what that being rich is? A lot of people say, oh, that's the rich people. They have money. They have stuff. No, you are rich. You are. All the people that... Brother Eckno ministers to, you are filthy, stinking rich. And all that word rich means is those that have stuff. those that have the wealth of the world. If you got some stuff, you're rich. Okay? Sorry about that. Hate to burst your bubble. No, I'm not rich. I'm just poor, blah, blah, blah. No. You're rich. The idea is for you not to trust in what you have, in your riches, in your houses, in your cars, in your lands, whatever. I got 5 acres I trust in. Okay? I got to remember not to any sometimes. Sometimes God puts a fire in your near your house, and you got to say, man, all this is yours, God. Well, how come all of it's his then, but not when the rest of the time? It's like, eesh. Charge that I'm rich, that they be not high-minded or trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. Trust in God. That is the charge. That is the encouragement. That is the thing for you this morning. Trust in God, please, and not in the things of this world. Why? Because the things of this world are fleeting. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Willing to communicate what? The things of God. How's that? Well, it's not only for the rich, but also for the poor, for you and I. Because we got stuff. Sometimes we don't have a lot of stuff, but sometimes we got stuff. Not to trust in that, but to be able to communicate the things of God, to distribute. Distribute means to give willingly those things that we have. Our resources. Ooh, money. Some people don't tithe in church because, I don't know. I can't afford to tithe. Yeah. Excuse me, if God gives it to you, you can afford to tithe. Offering, God should be able to move your heart at certain times. That here's my offering, my free will offering. Remember in the Old Testament, the free will offering was given freely. And yet, how many Christians give freely of their money? Even the tithe is like, oh, God requires this. God does not require it. He says, if you love me, you're going to do this. You're going to tithe to show that you're giving me honor and that you're going to let go of what that money. Oh, I need it for myself. No. I got to pay bills. That's self, isn't it? It's my bills. It's my stuff. I got to pay for this stuff that I got. Why? Because I took a loan out for my car. I got to pay for my car. I've been there. I remember my car broke down. I was still paying a monthly payment on it. I couldn't afford to fix it. So for 6 months, I paid for a car that just sat in the driveway. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that a little foolish? It's like, wow. Then finally, I got the money scraped together enough to fix it. The fuel pump cost $500 alone for that puppy. And it's like, wow. Well, this was a long time ago. But God says, tithe, so that way I know that you know that you can let go of the things of this world and put me in first in your life, in your heart. Laying up for store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Laying hold on eternal life, that's not buying eternal life. No, because it's like I said, we're all rich. It's laying hold, being able to say eternal life and lay hold of that eternal life that you have now, and I'm going to live this life. I am going to live this life till the fullest. This eternal life I have with a smile on my face. Why? Because God loves me. He only wants the best for me. Because God says, look, this is for you. Yeah, I'm a little selfish, God says, because it's our fellowship. I get your fellowship from this. But this is for you, your benefit. And we can go through life changed, believing. Oh, Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings, oppositions of science falsely accused, which some have professed, having erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. I wanted to end that here today. Oh, brothers and sisters of Independent Baptist Church, keep that which is committed to thy trust, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. You're ambassadors, Paul tells us in another place. Keep that. Oh, brothers and sisters of Independent Baptist Church, keep that trust that's committed to you. Avoid profane and vain babblings. Don't listen to the radio so much. When the news comes on, go somewhere else. Go watch a Hallmark movie. I don't know. Just stop listening to the garbage of this world. The dung. Like Moses. Moses turned down Egypt. You ever seen all the riches of Egypt? Holy moly, he turned that down? Yeah. Why? Because he considered living with God's people under that yoke of bondage with God's people, more valuable than all of Egypt. Oh, Independent Baptist Church, oh, brothers and sisters, keep that which is committed to you. Because others have professed, they have had this profession, and they've erred concerning the faith. They made mistakes, and now they're falling by the wayside. Don't do that. Don't let that be you, please. Grace be with you. Man, I don't know. Take an examination one day of what the grace of God is. That free merited love, unmerited love, that free unmerited love that God has given each and every one of us. And then when you read that in another Paul's writings, he says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Wow. We can frustrate the grace of God. Yeah, we can be in an opposition to the grace of God. Please, brothers and sisters, don't frustrate the grace of God. Don't be opposite of God. Be with Him. Not for Him, but with Him. Remember, that's the entire focus of my teaching here. My turn teaching was to be with God, not be just for Him, but with Him. You know, if you're just for Him, you're kind of like one of those fans in the stands. Man, they are for their team, aren't they? Go team, rah, rah, rah. But they're not out on the field with that team, are they? Are they? No, they're just for it. Okay. It's time to start being with God, living in that grace, living in the love, rejoicing in that love, putting a smile on our face, a spring in our step, instead of coming to church and going, oh, I got to be here. Oh, let's see, pastor should be done at noon. Oh, he's going to be 5 minutes. Oh, he's going to be 10. Oh, he's going to be 15 minutes over. Oh, my goodness gracious. Lord, why is he taking so long to preach your message? And I can hear God saying, because you haven't heard it yet. Because you're not listening. Please, don't frustrate that grace of God this next year. Live in that grace. Live in that love. And that's the end of my time. We are 10 minutes longer, and I apologize for that. With pastor's permission, we'll start 5 after. Stuff is set up downstairs, so when you dismiss and go downstairs and get cookies and stuff, don't mess with it. Don't be like a little child and say, ooh, 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 and then next thing you know, it's all messed up. Come on. Be an adult. Don't mess with it, please. All right.